The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the Seahawkers Podcast with Brandon Schultz, and this week we're honored to welcome back former Seattle Seahawks long snapper Nate Boyer to the show. He was an Army Green Beret, a long snapper for the Texas Longhorns, and is now set to play for the Arkansas Attack, one of only eight teams in the inaugural season of Major League Football. Welcome back to the show, Nate.
Thank you. How did you find out that that was our name? I didn't even know that was our name.
I did a lot of Googling, and I saw that you were on the team with Coach Campo, and I tracked it down that way. I think that's what the team name is, but if I'm one step ahead of you, you know, who knows?
Yeah, well, everything's been kind of kept real, I wouldn't say secret. They're just, until everything is 100% for sure, they don't release information until that is.
Interesting.
Typically, so that's for sure. So, like, the cities have been kept sort of under wraps and all that, apparently it's a go. I actually got the flights booked, got to go out to training camp and all that. So if they've done that, I feel like we're moving forward, you know?
Yeah, no, it's pretty exciting, isn't it? Obviously the NFL is a really big professional league to be a part of, but to be part of the inaugural season of something like this with Major League Football and to be drafted, I mean, that had to be a new experience, right?
Yeah, definitely. And they're not trying to compete with the NFL. They're trying to augment it. Their model is sort of like the NBA's developmental league.
Right.
So the D League. So that's basically what the purpose of it is. So if it gets us more film out there and we get to play the game, one more time, and you never know. You never know what it'll lead to, but it'll be fun either way in the process, I think. A little less pressure, in the league and all that. So it's just I'm looking forward to it, definitely.
Well, you see teams like the Seahawks, picking up players from the Canadian Football League, and, to have another professional league out there, it's just another place to scout for talent. And, it was about this time last year, Nate, where, coming up on the NFL draft, you're maybe not quite sure if you're going to a team, but then the Seahawks give you a call, and from listening to some of your other interviews, it sounded like the Seahawks weren't the only team to give you a call to ask you to play for them. Why end up picking the Seahawks?
Well, you've seen Moneyball, right?
Oh yeah.
When Billy Bean got that call from the Red Sox and he was working with the A's, when Boston calls, you go take the meeting. So, it was the same kind of feeling, not to talk trash on the other teams, but I mean, that's the best team in football, the best organization right now, the way things are run. It's very positive, and those guys, the way they play, that attitude, it all just kind of made sense. When I want to compete at the absolute highest level with the most elite. And it's the same reason that I decided to not only join the Army, but to go into Special Forces. So when you have that kind of opportunity, even though it may be more difficult to make that final roster on that team, it's so hard to, at least for me, to ignore that and to turn that down. I mean, I am so drawn to the challenge,
Well, and you were looking to compete with a guy who is an established guy in Clint Gresham, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're really, most of them really are in the league.
Sure.
There's not really too many snappers out there that haven't been playing for a while. The turnover rate is so low. So, and I wasn't looking at it in that way. I was looking at it as an opportunity. It wasn't necessarily competing with Clint. Mm-hmm. It was an opportunity to compete with the best team in football. And, just put something on tape either way, you know. And unfortunately, with the injuries and whatnot, I was only able to play in one preseason game, so I didn't get to put as much stuff on tape as I'd like to. I think it would have helped a lot if I would have been able to hang around for the full preseason, even if I got cut from the draft. I think I would have had a better shot with another team. But hey, it is what it is, you know. Just to get an opportunity like that was amazing.
Well, and you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, you never know. I mean, you know, things I got going against me is the fact that I'm 35 years old and small for the position, you know. And but I got things going in my favor too. So it's a matter of getting, you know, those coaches and people in the organizations to believe and to not be so afraid of those factors, you know, because I can snap as good as anybody that's playing right now. And I'm confident in that. It's true. You know, I worked for that, though. And just because I've only been snapping for 4 years doesn't mean, I'm not as good as the next guy.
Sure. Yeah. So what was your reaction here recently when you saw Clint got cut from the team?
I was kind of surprised, to be honest. I mean, I know he maybe didn't have his best year, but it was tough. And he actually sent me a really great message, and just he did it through text, and then he also did it on Twitter, just saying, you know, okay, well, now that you've done that, you might as well sign Nate Boyer.
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny. No, but he's a very supportive guy. He's a very popular guy in the community as well, and so. It, you know, no ill will towards that. I was very surprised. You know, I know they signed another younger guy to like a futures contract or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just a matter of the nature of the beast, and that game and the league is a beast.
Yeah, that's something though that it just seems like the Seahawks do every year because they're all about competition, right? They don't want to have one guy just feel comfortable in the position. So it seems like every year they bring in somebody to compete at that position. But so let's go back to the tweet that Clint put out. You know, he said, all right, if we're going to do this, at least bring back Nate Boyer. You know, he's the man, great snapper, and could probably kill any of us at any moment. How did you feel when you saw Clint say that, essentially, that if you're going to cut me, at least give my job to Nate?
No, like I said, it was what an act of humility, you know? Really, it just speaks to the type of person that he is. It's a competitive game, you know, and when we were out there in camp, don't get me wrong, like, I wanted to win the job, and don't get Clint wrong, he wanted to too. It's not that he's out there or I'm out there pulling against the other guy,
mm-hmm.
but you want to win, you know. We have competitive drills going against each other and stuff, and you want to beat the other guy. You have to. If you don't have that mentality, you're never going to have a chance. But at the same time, you learn to respect one another in that competition. And he's definitely one of those guys that there are people out there in this game, you know, that wish, you know, ill will and ill fate on others that they're competing with. But I can't live like that. I don't want that juju. and Clint is the same way.
Oh, exactly. Now, do you treat it kind of like an ex-girlfriend who dumped you and wait to see if she calls and is interested? Or is it more like calling up an old friend who, you know, who has an open roster spot on the softball league?
I can't call. You know, you can't do that. I got broken up with. You know, they dumped me, so I can't be the one calling. But, you know, if they do, obviously I'm going. I would love to compete again, but. You know, I don't know how common that is. I don't know enough about the game. I don't know if typically if you already went through their camp and they released you, if it's one of those things that they often bring you back, or if it's another team or what. So I'm just the impatient. You know, my agent's still talking to teams, and we've gotten a lot of positive feedback from some of the other teams that wanted to sign before, and then also there is opportunities out there. So I'm just trying to stay positive with it, but you know, it is what it is. I know the age and the size and the experience factor is not in my favor, but there are other things that I bring to the team in the locker room that others can't. And I hope that a lot of these people in high places understand that and kind of see past that and understand the value that may bring. So anyway, we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, shoot, the age factor. I mean, yes, you might be as old as some of the coaches in the locker room, but, you know, at least you bring some depth of experience and life that a lot of these players don't have. And I would have to think that that's, you know, just a more of a bonus than anything. But are there any locker room moments that really stand out with you, that stick with you from your time with the Seahawks?
Definitely. I mean, you know, the biggest one that sticks out was the day I got released, actually, when I, you know, I had guys like Marshawn and Richard Sherman and, Bobby Wagner, a bunch of these guys, Earl, that came up to me. You know, I was trying to kind of sneak out the back, because I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. I don't want to be like, you know, that guy. It's just, I want to be one of the guys, you know. And so I just kind of tried to quietly get my stuff and kind of roll out, and I walked by one of these kind of player lounge, and they were hanging out in there. They were like shocked that I was cut. And so they all came up to me, and, you know, it really showed how much I was embraced when I was there, because I mean, they, you know, I was missed immediately, which was it was a good feeling to have, feeling that you made a difference and you mattered and people wanted you around, and the people that believed in you, you know, they were like, wait, what? But it came down to being a numbers game, you know, but anyway, yeah, that moment, I think that, and probably the first day I walked in and saw my jersey hanging there in the locker, those two moments definitely stood out more than others.
I think your story and how you made it to the NFL brings out a lot of emotion. And, you know, the moment that sticks in my mind was seeing you lead the team out of the tunnel in preseason, carrying the American flag. And later in that game, you could see the emotion on Coach Carroll's face when you came off the field after your snap, that you snapped it back. Hauschka kicks it through the uprights and you're coming off the field, and Coach Carroll just has that big smile on his face. It was an incredible moment.
Right. Definitely. I'll never forget it. I hope you get another one.
I hope so, too. So, I mean, you've been really busy since then, too. I mean, one of the things that I think is really cool, you're the executive director of Merging Vets and Players, the MVP. This is a really cool idea. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Yeah. So essentially what we're doing is bringing veterans, obviously military veterans, when I say that, and specifically combat veterans, guys that were on the ground, you know, we call them trigger pullers. You know, it's kind of a slang term for that. But those guys and ex right now it's NFL players that are sort of both kind of somewhat struggling with the transition moving forward. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be a serious struggle in the sense of, you know, the suicide and stuff like that. It could be something as little as just trying to find purpose, you know, trying to find another way to serve. And we're bringing them together, and these guys just have such a mutual respect for each other, you know, and we're sort of motivating them and helping them find that thing, and, you know, continue to serve in some way and continue to look at how can I be a factor, you know, in my community, whether the community is here stateside or abroad, you know, and what can I do to really make a difference, to kind of, you know, that's the way to pull yourself out of whatever rut or hole you're in, is to put your focus on other people, you know? And so service projects are really what we're kind of pushing and encouraging these guys to develop and help find, you know? And so we just want to be a conduit for that. And it's really cool to see that these guys get together and just, how similar they really are. You know, they kind of speak the same language, even though they come from different circumstances.
Well, I just know from my experience in the military, you know the people, right, that they eat, sleep, and breathe military life. And then one day, you know, whether it's because of an injury or another issue that doesn't allow them to continue in the military, or maybe they just get to the point of retirement, but they don't have that piece of their life, that identity, I guess, that they once had. So trying to transition from that, I think, can be really difficult for some people. And I have to think for NFL guys, it's the same way, right?
Absolutely. Oh, 100%, man. It's very similar. You're really similar in some ways, you know, and, you just, that camaraderie and, that structure that goes away. And it's real difficult, you know, and a lot of those NFL guys, they've been doing, that's what they, football is what they've kind of lived through since they were a child, you know, and they've been playing it ever since. And it has kind of been a huge, it has been a huge part of their life, and they, and it becomes their identity. And when it's gone, it's crazy how different life is, you know, cause that's, people don't realize you don't just play on Sunday and practice a couple hours a day during the week. It's like, you know, it's a 40 to 60 hour a week job, even in college. It is a lot, it's a huge commitment. It is your life. You know, you have other things, obviously, but that is who you are and what you do. And, everybody knows that for vets. I think that's much more realized and understood, especially with all the deployments and all that. But with these athletes, it is similar. And I know you're going to have those people that are like, well, these guys got paid millions of dollars to play a game. But, you know, we're not giving these guys anything. It's not like we're funding them,
right.
You know, or like we're helping them. We want them to move forward to serve, even if maybe they haven't done anything of service in the community before. But find purpose in that way. Help, help their brothers, the men on their left and right, get back on their feet as well. And it's a cool concept, and we've gotten some really positive feedback so far. The biggest challenge we've had is not only identifying, but getting those players, you know, willing to be involved. A lot of them will look at the situation and say, man, this guy's a vet. You know, this guy's a combat vet. This guy's a hero, a war hero. And I just play sports for money, man. Like I can't compare myself to this person. And you're not comparing what you did. You're comparing where you're at, you know? And once they kind of get past that, just get over it. They understand that this is good. These vets want to embrace you, man. A lot of them look up to you as an elite athlete. And, you know, once you get them in the same room and they start talking, it's pretty cool to watch sort of that stuff kind of organically happen. You know, these friendships and bonds sort of just naturally come together.
So I think a big part of this must just be getting these guys, whether they're NFL players or military vets, to recognize and realize what they have within them that made them successful is still within them. And, you know, to me, it's clear in your story what you've been able to do and accomplish. You're driven to succeed. And for military members, I know we're in situations where failure just wasn't an option. And a lot of NFL players are in this league because they have that mindset that failure wasn't an option for them. So it has to be about getting them to recognize that and channel it in another direction in the next phase of their life.
Exactly. No, exactly. You're exactly right. I mean, that is one of the main similarities, you know, that the never quit attitude and the amount of sacrifice that goes into accomplishing what you've accomplished, you know, and the scars that go along with that, you know. And it's just, what we're talking about is, you know, how are you viewing those scars? Are you proud of them in a way, you know, or are you letting them sort of define you as someone that's just too different to continue on in society? And you know, instead of looking at them like I overcame this, I survived this, you know, now I can choose whatever it is I want to do moving forward. Whatever I'm passionate about, I should be spending my time now focusing on that and being the best at that, just like I was the best at the other thing I did.
Absolutely. So we got a lot of folks that listen to the show who are military veterans who may still be in the military. You know, I part of the military Seahawkers group. So I felt like that was an important thing to get out to them to know about this program. Really cool opportunity, merging vets and players. And Nate, really wanted to thank you for coming back on the show.
Of course, man. Thank you for having me on. And, you know, I'm still going to say go Hawks unless another team picks me up. And I'm going to have to change my allegiance unfortunately.
Nate, you're always going to be a part of the Seahawks family. You know that. So you keep saying go Hawks. And, you know, even better, let's see if we can get you back as part of this team. I mean, it's not unprecedented for guys to come back. Kristen Michael was cut from the team last year. He went on to two different teams before coming back, and he was just re-signed. We need you back with the Hawks.
I appreciate that. Well, yeah, you guys can just, you know, you can get a hashtag going or something and get me back out there.
Hey, that's, we got to do it, right? All right, Nate. Well, thanks for coming back on the show, and hopefully we talk again sometime.
Definitely. Have a good one, brother.
Yes, so thanks to Nate Boyer, former Seahawks long snapper, a Guinness World Record holder for the longest long snap, and hopefully future Seahawks long snapper. In fact, let's get that going. Let's get hashtag bring back Boyer going on Twitter and see about getting him back into the long snapping competition in Seattle. This needs to happen. You know, and maybe going back to what I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, I was talking about the Arkansas Attack name, and maybe I was a bit premature on that. I was looking at it. It looks like Major League Football filed for trademarks on the team names, so it's likely that those will be the team names. I figured that's what the team names actually were, but the actual team names haven't been announced quite yet officially, so for now, I'll just say that I'll be rooting for Nate on Team Campo until he can get another shot in the NFL, just as long as it's not with the Rams. So, Seattle, do the right thing. Folks, help Nate out with hashtag bring back Boyer. Let's see what we can do. You know, you know why the Seahawks need to bring him back, though, right? Remember when we had the Tanzania advertisements up in CenturyLink, the Tanzania effect? Does anybody remember that? 2012, 2013, the Seahawks were dominant. Even other teams that played in the Clink during that time were dominant, you know, whether it was the Sounders or Huskies. Well, one of the things that Nate did that we didn't get to talk about, Nate recently went to Mount Kilimanjaro, climbed Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. So if we can't get Tanzania advertising banners back up in the Clink, I have to think that this is the next best thing to restoring the Tanzania effect in the Seahawks universe. Let's get it done. Hashtag bring back Boyer. Adam and I will be back later this week talking about the offensive line, talking about some of the players we like in the draft, and some of the latest in free agency news over the past couple weeks. And with that, there's only one thing left to say. Go Hawks. No, maybe two things. Hashtag bring back Boyer. Go Hawks.